I've published one book in the U.S. Called The Devil's Concubine, which is also available on Comixology, so people can pick it up there. Mm-hmm. I've published a few comic books here in Denmark, some YA novels. Role-playing game.
Yeah.
It's done so much stuff.
Szkoła rodzenia. Oh, okay. So you don't have prepared formula for introducing yourself.
No, it depends very much on the no, absolutely not. No, oh. I don't have like an elevator speech.
But I thought that all professionals have all those things, you know, already written down and memorized. And
no, and yeah? I think if you really want to make an impression on people, I think what you'll probably be better off asking them about what they're doing. Because people love to talk about themselves, as I'm a great example of. So ask them. I mean, just ask them. Fake interest in what they're doing, and talk. Listen to what they have to say, and then half an hour into the conversation, they might ask, "So what do you do?" And it doesn't even matter what you say, because they'll just love you because you listen to them for half an hour and asked elaborating questions.
That's
stuff like
a good
that.
Practical tip. Yeah, and it works.
The thing about making comics or any kind of art, if it's a solo art form, music is a collaborative art form as mm-hmm. well. So is acting or whatever. But if you're writing or drawing, you're basically just sitting on your own a lot of the time, and the mindset that's needed for you to survive a lonely career like that, where you're just sitting there working. It's so easy to get distracted by thoughts of who's going to be interested in this. Am I good enough? Does it even matter? Why should I even do this?
Exactly,
and nobody seems to care.
That's important. So how do
that
you
is
deal
very
with
important. How so do how do I deal with that? Well, I have certain, I have some tricks. One thing is that when I'm drawing, I tend to get a lot more distracted than when I'm writing. When I'm writing, it's not really that big of an issue, because I use up my entire brain to make stuff up. But when I'm drawing, it's very easy to get distracted and check Facebook all the time or start to worry about stuff.
Yeah, do you turn your computer off? No, you cannot, because you're not. Yeah, you can.
My computer is off, so I'm trying not to check Facebook and stuff like that. But it's a struggle, obviously. Mm-hmm. Deadlines help. I mean, if you're working on a deadline, then you have to finish. Then you can't procrastinate and do all sorts of other stuff. And then I listen to podcasts or music while I work. Mm-hmm. So just to distract my brain for that little bit, so it doesn't start worrying about stuff. Obviously.
Okay, how many years are you doing it? For how long now?
I went full-on freelance in 1998. So I've been
it's
working...
It's a long time.
Yeah, so
and you're still
I should
distracted?
Be
I mean,
so
are you still worried? You're kind of pro now. So you've done lots of stuff and you're recognized, and it should be no problem. Why are you still thinking, who's going to read it? Well, lots of people already did, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe. I think it's a common thing that sticks with you the entire career. I think even Stephen King worries about stuff. I just think that the
he difference. Does?
I think so. I think the difference between being a pro and being an amateur is that pros, we recognize it for what it is. We recognize the fear for what it is, and it's not that we get rid of it. It's just we put it in the corner and say, "Well, it's fine. Yeah, I know you're there. Just sit over there and don't bug me while I'm working."
So, do you work on a big book right now? It's not a few strips. It's a huge one.
It's a huge one. Yeah, it's as you know, the Americans have this 22-page format.
Actually, I didn't know.
Didn't know? Okay, yeah, that's sort of the, they call them the monthlies or the floppies, Spider-Man or Superman, Batman, whatever, all these different books, obviously not just Superman.
Really?
Batman.
It's always 22 pages? Why?
It's always 22 pages, and in recent years, the graphic novel has been making its entrance into the field, so obviously there are books that are longer, But the ongoing series are always 22 pages.
Uh-huh. Why is that 22 pages? What do you think? I mean, it's probably a practical thing, so it's not too short, not too long, but...
Probably, yeah. Oh. Yeah, so that's like the format that they've figured out. Over here, we have the 48 or the 46-page format for the European album.
To create one page, how many pictures do you need and how much time does it take?
Well, I do it in different phases, but I think a page a day would be a good sort of rule of thumb.
An entire day.
If you can't pull off a page a day, then you're drawing too detailed.
You draw on paper, not computer, no tablets.
I use the computer in the final phase, obviously. I scan it in and then I paint it. I color it in the computer.
What tools do you use to communicate? Is it Dropbox mostly?
Dropbox is one of my absolute go-to apps. I would say, yeah, I use it for backup as well.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I'm working on an issue or almost done, as soon as I've scanned stuff in, I put it in the Dropbox just to make sure that I have it. So whenever anybody shows any interest, I'm like, oh well, let me send you right now. It's not something I have to remember to do when I get home. I can just send them a link to the file in my Dropbox right from my phone, and they get it immediately.
Is drawing expensive? How much? What are the costs? Except for your time?
No, it's not. It's not it's not expensive at all. I mean, not with the kind of tools that I use. It's the paper and the pens and the stuff like that. It's not an expensive hobby. I wouldn't say no. Absolutely not.
So here's my main question is: mm-hmm. Do you create to make money, or you make money to create?
I would probably lean towards the latter. I've been fortunate enough to work as a freelance artist for many years, so that people have been paying me to become better at my craft.
Oh, nice.
So that's great. But I've always tried to... I know freelancers who just sit and wait for the phone to ring, and I've never done that. In fact, I've often sat and just worked on my own stuff for months without noticing that the phone didn't ring.
Oh.
And then so all of a sudden you get that sinking feeling, uh-oh, wait a minute, something's wrong. I haven't sent out an invoice in over a month, paid work as sort of an interruption. What I'm doing is my own thing, and then sometimes a work-for-hire gig will pop up and I'll have to take it because I also need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as that's done, I'm back on track with my own things.
Do your parents, for example, say this is the best kind of job you can have?
Absolutely not. No. I would say my parents did what most parents do, worry a lot about whether I could feed myself and have a roof over my head. So
yeah.
They encouraged me to educate myself, so
be a banker.
So I pretended. Well, I'm really bad at math, so I think a banker is probably out of the picture. But yeah, they encouraged me to study. So I studied at the university. I was there for a couple of years, but I was always doing my own stuff at the same time. So I was kind of halfway a student. I was a really bad student, I would say. But I live in a very privileged corner of the world where we are actually funded by the state if we study. So
yeah.
We get a little bit of money from the state if we choose to educate ourselves, because the state acknowledges that we need doctors and lawyers.
Does it make people lazy?
Probably.
So why didn't it make you lazy?
It did make me lazy. I mean, I spent 6 years in school and I never got any sort of diploma.
Whoa.
So I guess you could say I was lazy in that sense. But then I've made a living since then of my own skills. So,
I think
that was the fear. I just wish that I had had the balls to make the jump earlier and start working off my craft earlier. When I did start, I did know somebody. When I started out, I had started meeting some people I was sort of hovering on the outskirts of the Danish comics industry,
mm-hmm.
which consists of about four people.
wow, it's no, huge comparing to Polish.
It's a huge thing. But it's just, I mean, we're 5 million people in Denmark, so it's not a huge country. And, but there is a comic scene, obviously, and I was meeting some people there. And I went and visited one, Peter Snipia, who's been working full-time in the U.S. comics industry for many years. He's been sort of my mentor ever since. And I went to his studio here in Copenhagen and visited. And that was the first time that I saw anybody making a living from drawing. So that really just blew my mind that it was possible to make a living as a freelance artist. I think if I hadn't met those guys and if I hadn't started at that studio, I probably wouldn't have made it. I think fear would have gotten the better of me, the worry, the loneliness.
Yeah. So the good idea is to go find someone who's in the business and who's doing it.
Yeah, I would say so. If you can't find anybody in the in your local area, find peers online.
So are there any schools or universities that teach, I don't know, creativity and selling this creativity or drawing or writing or stuff like that?
Well, something you should ask, because I have a website called comicsforbeginners.com, and that's where I kind of try to teach what I've learned and share some of the mistakes that I've made, so try to help people avoid some of the same pitfalls. So yeah, and a lot of it is tutorials, obviously, how to make comics. My website is not the only resource out there. Obviously, there's a lot, but comicsforbeginners.com is obviously what I know most about because I've created it. So that's a program that consists of 10 tutorial videos that takes you through the steps of making comics from beginning to end. My experience is that a popular book in Denmark sells maybe a couple of thousand copies. That's for a graphic novel. So it's nothing you can make a living off. I mean, it took me 2 years to finish the last one, probably. So 2 years, 2,000 copies. That's not great. And I don't even know if it sold 2,000 copies. Yeah. I don't even know that. So I think that the peanuts that you make from publishing a book to a small market, it hardly matters.
Okay,
you
so
might as well
the...
put it online directly and get all the fans.
Exactly.
And then later on, if you want to do a Kickstarter or another sort of crowdfunding thing, then you have the fan base. Then you have all the people who are checking out your weekly webcomic or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you can convince maybe a percentage of them to pick up the printed book.
So is it good to start with creating fan base?
Fan base, yeah. I would say in this day and age, yeah, absolutely, I would go for the fan base first. I mean, obviously, the first thing you need to do before you start thinking about all the autographs you're going to be signing, you should start working on your craft and become good at what it is you want to do. But why not make a display about it? I mean, put it online and get people's feedback. Would be a good idea.
Where are the big markets right now? United States, and that's about it, or are there more?
I think France, Belgium, they still have a big market for comics there.
Mm.
They don't seem to be very open to people from outside of that industry.
Oh.
I mean, certainly my experience going to conventions in France is that whenever I've tried to give a publisher a copy of my book, they're like, no, because they're just flooded with stuff. They have so much stuff to publish.
Wow.
And if you don't speak the language and you're not best friends with the editor, I think it's very hard to break in there. Whereas I think the U.S. industry is a little bit more accessible. They tend to be more open. They still might not return your emails, but at least they'll... They'll feign interest if you meet them at a convention. Say, yeah, this looks great, man. Yeah, sure, I'll take a copy.
Okay.
And then maybe they'll toss it in the trash when you leave. I don't know. But
probably, it
seems a more friendly place. And also, I speak the language. So
yeah, where did you learn English? This is amazing. I mean, you speak fluently. So where did you learn it?
I guess I have an ear for it. I've watched movies, obviously. Do you dub your movies in Poland?
That's even worse. We have this guy speaking out loud on the collector. Yeah, there's one guy and he's just reading subtitles for you in case you can't read. I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's really annoying for me. So there's no way for a Polish person to learn English watching movies.
Yeah.
because of this guy who's reading all the lines.
One guy, take him out and you'll all be fine.
Yeah, yes.
The U.S. is also full of people with weird accents, so...
True.
Yeah, they don't worry about that. They even had, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, for Christ's sake. He,
exactly.
So, so if your English is a little bit bad, that shouldn't stop you. Maybe look at this guy. He's done well for himself. So, it shouldn't...
So no problem. Okay, so in that case, you probably should start in English and go internationally whenever you're starting to create comics. Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Maybe there is a reason. I don't know. Is there a reason not to? I don't know.
Well, if you don't speak the language, then there's a reason to stick with your own native tongue. Or if you're, like I said, if there is a market where you are, I mean, if you live in Japan, they have their own style, the manga thing, and obviously written in Japanese.
Do you draw a manga?
Do I draw a manga? No, I don't think so. But,
wow, good.
But it's a weird thing because sometimes the for me, it's all comics and we would get internships at the old studio I was at. You know, in the last few years of school here in Denmark, you get a week where you go and visit a place of business and try to as sort of a way of testing out the waters of being an adult. So we would get these 14-year-old girls come in, or 14-year-old kids, and they would want to work on their comics. And when you asked them what kind of comics they read, they went all blank. And I mean, just like they don't read comics, but you make comics? No. What? What do you mean you don't make comics? That's words and pictures and balloons and stuff. No. That's manga. Okay, great.
Oh my goodness.
Call it manga, it's fine. Yeah, whatever. Okay, the eyes are bigger, it's manga. Okay, great.
The same thing
with the graphic novel term that popped up a few years ago, where it used to be called comics, and now it's, if you make something a little bit longer and for an adult audience, you get the right to call it a graphic novel, which makes it literature. It makes it a little bit fancier. So I call it graphic novels. Fine. Yeah, sure. Let's call it that. We can call it smugluf as long as it sells stuff. I don't care.
I'm wondering if it would be a right way for someone who wants to do full stories to start from the strips.
My piece of advice for people who want to start out is start small. I mean, even if you have that idea that you want to make this 200-page graphic novel and create the entire world, like a Tolkien universe around it and all that, that's great, that's fine, it's a great ambition to have, but I would start out small, because one thing I'm very big on is building confidence. You absolutely need to build confidence in any art form if you want to keep at it and become a pro down the line. You need to get some success under your belt. You need to feel like you can achieve this and become a success. And the weird thing is, if you're working on a 100-page graphic novel and you draw 70 pages of it, 70 pages, I mean, that's a success by any form, right? But you're 30 pages short, which means if you get stuck at 70 pages of a 100-page graphic novel, then you will feel like a giant failure because you didn't complete your mission. Whereas if you set out to make a 10-page story and you finish that, then that builds your confidence. You're like, yeah, I did it. I set out to make a 10-page story, and man, I did. I did make a 10-page story. I can do this. Then you can put it out in the world and you can learn from it. You don't learn anything from a half-finished project, which is weird. You just feel like a giant failure. Just one page or two pages that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And if you can finish that, you will learn so much and you will start to build that confidence that it takes to finish a 100-page graphic novel.
Okay, so how important is self-confidence? Is it more important than... Well, most of people used to think like that. What is the most important, what I need, is great quality of drawing. I have to be the best in drawing. And they don't really care about things like self-confidence or...
I think self-confidence is a lot more important, actually. I think talent is part of it, sure. But I think stubbornness, the willingness to keep going when it doesn't seem like anybody cares about what you're working on, the willingness to keep becoming better at your craft, and the ability to push through all the tough times that you will. I mean, when you're getting better at something, you reach these levels where it seems like you're not getting anywhere. You might have gotten somewhat better, but then it seems like you're on this level forever and you're never going to get to the next level. And most people, a lot of people quit when they're on that level, and it doesn't seem like they're going anywhere. But so you need the confidence, and you need the stubbornness, and the sheer just true grit to push through all these hard times and get to the next level. And I think that's a lot more important than talent. And I think that's another thing about mindset. If you're working freelance, then you have to be able to deal with the fact that no money is coming in on the first of the month. That's where money goes out. Mm-hmm. And then you have to make your money during the month or during the year, and then just put it aside. If you're one of those people that look in your bank account and like, woohoo, I have $1,000, then they go out and spend $1,000, then you might not be cut out for the freelance life. Just one page or two pages that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And if you can finish that, you will learn so much, and you will start to build that confidence that it takes to finish a 100-page graphic novel. Create storyteller, maybe find someone to work with, or create kinds of stories that let you just make these huge, fantastic images that you want, but yeah, I try to make stories that fit your way of drawing, or the other way around. Mm-hmm. Try to draw in a way that fits your way of storytelling. People get very hung up on the kind of tools to use, because you have this weird notion that if you get the right tools, then you can also become the right artist.
Yeah, and so we buy expensive stuff, and then it's... Yeah.
Yeah, and you look at other people, what they're using, and for many years I was completely fascinated with this quill, the dip pen, this metallic thing that you dip into the ink and then draw with, and it looks, if you're good at it, it looks amazing. And if like me, you're a very impatient artist, you will end up just scratching the paper and getting ink all over, and then I just completely dropped that. Now I draw with just regular markers, and pencils. This entire book is drawn with a minor pencil like this. It's very accessible. It's just any bookstore will have it. It's nothing fancy.
Should we start cheap or more expensive? Try the best tool first, or try the worst tool first, or doesn't matter.
That's a good question. I think I do have an answer for you, because I have this great, amazing, expensive sketchbook that I bought 20 years ago, and it's still half full of empty pages, because I'm always afraid of screwing up when I'm working on that. So I mean, actually, the cheaper you can get it, the better. I've scanned in my rough pages and put them on. Put them in the computer and put in lettering and stuff like that, and then I print it out again, and then I start sketching on this. But it's just, you can hear the paper rattling. It's crap printer paper. That's what I use for my sketches, which is fantastic, because I don't care about this piece of paper. Mm-hmm. I have no emotional attachment to it, so I'm not afraid of screwing up. If I make a mistake, I'll just doodle in the margin, or I know that I can just print out a new one. It doesn't matter. If I make a mistake, I could take a different piece of paper and do one image on that, and you know, it doesn't matter. And after I've done sketching, I use them for they're just on my art table, and I use them to wipe off my brush. So it's just full. I don't care about this piece of paper, which I think is great. I mean, I think that actually the less you care, the better art you can produce, which is weird, I know. But if you become too emotionally attached to a drawing, or if you worry too much about ruining it, then it just, you freeze up.
Actually, you're right. I think you're absolutely right. The less you care, it's better. The better it is.
It's a weird thing, isn't it?
It is a weird thing, yeah, when I think of it.
I've been painting a couple of covers for Thomas Alsop, and in every case, I'm constantly learning new things myself as well. So I just learned that the moment I start to give up and not worry about making it perfect or great even, the moment I think, well, this is ruined, I might as well just, you know, keep painting and just see what happens. And then it becomes great. You can always fix things later. But the moment you think, you sit down to create a perfect piece of art, it's not going to work. It just fascinates me that the psychology is so important that you can have
exactly,
people,
yeah, it is.
You can have people who are immensely talented and not doing anything with it, and then you have people who are just drawing stick figures and they're a huge success, and they manage to put out great stuff. I mean, that just amazes me. I don't know about the schools, art schools or whatever. I have no idea how that whole thing works, but my prejudice tells me that people teaching in art schools are people who are not particularly good at being artists.
Yeah. Do you ever get tired of this creating stuff and you just want to have a regular, simple job and to rest?
Nope.
Never.
Never. No. I whenever people mention like a real job, I get the fear. I don't think I could handle that. No. Back to work. Good talking to you, Martin.
It was great. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You.
It'll be very helpful to people, I'm sure. So,
cool. Great. I hope so.
Someday somewhere.
Someday somewhere.
Szkoła rodzenia.
I need to clean up.
Looks pretty clean, actually. Too clean. I thought it would be all messy papers everywhere, painted. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. It is.
It's pretty messy.